The following message is brought to you by the Lighthouse Church of Raton.
You know, we're going to continue on with identity. You know, last week as we celebrated the resurrection of Christ and we celebrated with dedications and baptisms. In baptism, what's happening is those folks were identifying with Christ publicly, with the death, the burial, and the resurrection. Amen? And that's a public display of faith for a condition that already happened in their heart. And praise God for that. There's something, as we take a step in obedience, there's always something released in the Spirit. I've seen that through my life. It's that whole submitting to God, then I know what to do. And as I do what he tells me to do, the devil flees. There's power release. Amen? Submit to God, resist the devil, he will flee. So we're going to continue on with identity. I think it's appropriate. So Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your word that you've put into our heart that we wouldn't sin against you. I thank you for the word that renews my mind, enabling me to speak it out of my mouth, Father. I thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen? Amen. Amen. That's going to be true what Jim was saying about it being in your heart, in your mind, and coming out of your mouth as we start our Tuesday night Bible study on hearing God's voice. This is going to be a very important study because here's the thing. God is speaking to you. What father has never spoken to his child? Good fathers speak to their children. Amen. God does speak to you. He does. I don't think we all, as children, we don't always acknowledge or notice, but we're going to get into that. It's going to be good. We're already putting together our outline, and I'm already excited. Tuesday night, 6 o'clock. But today, identity. So we're going to go back. I mean, Gideon has given us a lot of great examples, right? So let's look at Gideon again, Judges 6. I'm going to read 12 through 15 again. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, "The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor." Gideon said to him, "Oh my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all his miracles, which our fathers told us about, saying, 'Did not the Lord bring us from Egypt?' But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites." Then the Lord turned to him and said, "Go in the might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you?" Verse 15. So he said to him, "Oh my Lord, how can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house." Now, what did God say? Mighty man of valor. That's what God said. What did Gideon say? Well, the first thing, he spoke the problem. Look at my condition. Look where I'm at. Then he spoke about himself. My father's house, the weakest, and I'm the weakest of them. Why did Gideon say these things? The first thing is he was repeating what he had been told. Right? He was repeating what he was told. How many times do we say things about ourselves repeating what we were told? Whether someone said it in the natural or Satan was speaking it in the supernatural in your mind. You know, the father lies is going to lie. That's no surprise, right? That's what he does, right? And he speaks into people's mind. That's why the scriptures talk to us about taking every thought captive, bringing it into the obedience of Christ, right? Folks, we can't be paying attention to what the enemy is saying or what the world is even saying about us. We've got to pay attention to what God is saying and what he says about us, right? So let's just look through this a little bit as an example. What are some lies that Satan has told? Well, let's just go with the first one. Nobody loves you. Nobody cares about you. How many people have heard that lie in their mind? Everybody has. Everybody's heard that. But what does God say about you? Oh, John 3:16. "For God so loved the world." Well, are you in this world? Well, he loved you. That he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever shall believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. That's what God said. Romans 8, 38 and 39. For I'm persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's what God says. And see, the thing is, if we're going to have a destiny that's assured, we have to walk in the identity that Christ has given us. Amen? Your identity leads to your destiny. Because if you follow the lie, if you identify with the lie, you're identifying with a false destiny that God never intended for you. And guys, as the church, as the end times church, we have a destiny. We have a purpose that will be fulfilled in this region. It will be. But it's going to take every person who Christ has called his own, fully equipped, fully prepared, to advance his kingdom in this region. Every one of you have a part to play, and it's critical. Jim said it. We need you, and this region needs you walking out the destiny God has for you. Amen? Another lie. You're just a sinner. Okay, how many of here have sinned? I got to use two hands, all right? We all have, right? All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But do I identify with my sin? A lot of folks do. They get hung up in it. And you know what it does? It hobbles them to walk out their destiny. What does God say? 1 John 2 and 12, I write to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. So sinner, no, forgiven. That's who we are, forgiven. Don't identify with the sin. Identify with the forgiver of sins. You are forgiven. 2 Corinthians 5, 21, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Who are we? The righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That's the truth. You see how this works here? Do you see why the word is so important? That the word gets into us? That it's into us so much that out of the abundance of my heart, my mouth has to speak? Because I have to identify with the truth. But to identify with the truth, to identify with Christ, I have to know him, right? And I have to have that knowledge of him in such a way that when the lie comes, I say, whoa, 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 whoa. That's not what my father says about me, right? That's not who I am. I don't belong. I just don't belong with those people. I don't belong. I don't belong anywhere. That church, they play music this loud. Whatever, you know, I don't belong. They don't even like you. They didn't say hi to you. They didn't even shake my hand. That pastor came in 3 minutes late. I was on assignment. But the point is Satan says stuff like you. He didn't even talk to me. I don't belong here. I don't belong here. What does God say? Ephesians 1, 3 through 6. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That right there is already a good identification. You're blessed with every spiritual blessing. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. Yes, he chose you. That we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself. Does a son belong in the Father's house? Does a daughter belong in the Father's house? Yes, the family belongs. You belong. And you're missed when you're not here. That's not a guilt trip. But it's just the truth. You belong. You're supposed to be here. Praise God for that. Man, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace by which he made us accepted in the beloved. What does he call you? Accepted. You do belong. You do belong. You're wanted. You're needed. Not because he has a lack, but because he has a family. Does that make sense? I've always said this is a family business. God the Father has a family, and he puts us in business, and he gives us everything we need to accomplish that business. There's a destiny you have. And as you identify in the family business, which is love, by the way, because that's who he is, we advance his kingdom in that business because we identify with the Father. You are accepted. Man. How about this one? The lie. I'm just broken. I've messed up so many times. I've had so many things happen. I'm just broken. What does God say? Colossians 2:10. And you are complete in him. You are complete in him, who is the head of all principality and all power. Does that not settle that? Man. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is what? A new creation. A new creation created by the creator of the universe is not a broken thing. That's right. He don't make broken things. He makes new creations that are complete in him. But you understand that completeness is always in him. It's always in him. You know, one of the things that we teach, it's just such a foundational teaching here at the Lighthouse, is that we are created in the image of God, right? In the image of God, right? Body, soul, and spirit, right? Why is that such a critical teaching? Because it settles everything in the word. It's a truism that you have to have so that when the lie comes up, you're settled in the truth. Why? Because in the flesh, the lies are going to come. And in my soul, man, I've got to make a decision. Am I going to listen to the lie, or am I going to identify with the Spirit, who is my Father, the Holy Spirit inside of me, leading me into truth? There's a decision made. Now, why is that so important? Why is that so important? Because even when I feel broken. Because you say to yourself, well, pastor said that I'm whole. But today I don't feel whole. I feel broke. Well, how can I feel broke and be whole? Because we're in this world still. We're still battling. There is still a working out of my salvation with reverential fear and trembling. Well, where does that work happen? In my soul, man. In my mind, will, and emotion that is living in a fallen world with fleshy stuff coming at me. Man, you want to hear God's voice? It's all going to go down in the soul, man. Boy, we're going to teach this good. It's going to set you free on some stuff too, I promise you. Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. Amen. And where's the Spirit inside of you? My spirit man's free, 100%. Sealed with the Spirit. But sometimes my mind isn't free. It's shaken a little bit. Why? Because the flesh is yelling and screaming, telling me all the lies. But the Holy Spirit is leading me into all truth. So what must I train? My soul. My mind, my will, and my emotions lining up with the truth that God's leading me in. Identifying with him instead of the situation or the circumstance. Look, Gideon had a situation. There were circumstances, and he was hiding out. He had no idea what the truth was until God told him. And even then, he had to be convinced. Do you know the first thing? Now you think about this. The tomb is empty. Some of my friends are saying they even saw Jesus. But I'm Thomas, and I'm like, I ain't seen nothing yet. Till I put my hands or my fingers in the holes in his hands, and I see him walking in, I ain't believing nothing. The first thing challenged by his followers was their faith. What do you think is going to be challenged in you? Your faith. Every single time, your faith. And what's it going to be challenged with? A lie leading you off of the truth. Right? So folks, it's going to happen. You're going to get a truism from the Word. You're going to get something revealed to you in the world, and it will be in the Word, and it'll be challenged in the world. It'll be challenged. Because Satan knows, like, uh-oh, these people are reading the truth. There's power in the truth of God's Word. I better, yeah, we got, man, Satan's getting scared. I got to do something about this. So I'll make a big fiery, doubty thing happen to try to get them off the destiny that God has for them, right? And it's real. I mean, fear is a real emotion. But God didn't send it. But the enemy does. Why? To move you off of the path leading your destiny. The lie. Guys, you cast down the lie by filling that void with the truth. I've always said it. Fear and faith occupy the same space. I've said that. Coach will tell you, in football, okay, it's always about space. I'm taking space that the enemy doesn't want me to take. I'm taking space, right? Why? So that I fill that space. Because we're advancing in that space. See, the enemy wants to talk me out of that space so that he can fill it with fear, lies. Let's just say lies, right? It's all lies. That's what he does. He wants to fill that space with lies to back me into a corner where I feel broken, oppressed, weak. He wants me to feel that way. Even though the truth is, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But it's always about trying to steal your identity. See, he can't really push you out of that space. You got to step out of it. Is this making sense?
Yes.
Let's get to this one. The lie. You have no purpose. You are hopeless. How many people have felt hopeless? We've all felt hopeless, man. When things just keep piling on and piling on, and how am I going to get out of this? Well, you're not. But you can be delivered out of it. Let's see what the truth says. What does God say? I think you may have heard this one before. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know, God says, the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Who gives us hope? He does. These three remain, faith, hope, and love. The greatest of these is love. But these three remain. Faith, guys, we're going to have faith today. You're going to have faith a million years from now walking in eternity. They remain forever. Hope remains forever. Our hope is for today. I have great expectations for what God says about me today. When you're a son of the living God, if you're a daughter of the living God, equipped for every good work, you have great expectations. Every single day, your eyes open, you expect good things to happen. You expect God's word to manifest in your life. Every single day. Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. You have a purpose, and it's about being on purpose every day. But the only way I can stay on purpose is by identifying with my Father. Identifying, you know, this is who I am. This is who I represent. Because as I do that, my destiny lines out. And it's filled with hope. See, that spirit of hopelessness is being passed around right now all over the world. Oh, how are we going to get out of this? Look how bad it is. Blah, blah, blah. Right? But we can have hope. We can expect good things every single day. Doesn't matter what the economy's doing. Doesn't matter what my boss is doing. Doesn't matter what the weather's doing. Don't make a difference what I see. I'm not going to live by what I see. I can sing. Don't. Please don't. Please don't. Case says, cut his mic. We're going to see things, we're going to hear things in the natural. When it does not line up with the truth of God's word, we push it to the side. Right? Every single time. Every single time. Because if you identify with just a little bit of the lie, just did God really say? Just a little bit, it'll get you off that track. And here's the thing. God has that peace meter he puts inside of us that we get off track, we start losing peace quick, and the red lights start flashing, and we start overheating, and anxiety builds. And that's when you say, whoa, what do you say about this, God? What does your word say about this? What's the truth that you're wanting to speak to me this day? What's the truth? Because here's the thing. All the amount of counseling and talking to people I do, there's nothing original I say. I just say what the word says. That's the truth. You see, usually folks come into me, they say the lie. Why? Because that's what they've heard. I don't blame them. I did the same thing. I understand. But it's training my mind to not identify with those lies, but with the truth of God's word. Because what matters is what God says. What he says is what matters, not what anybody else says. I'm going to be honest, not what Pastor Monty says. If I'm not speaking God's word, it's only what God says. That's what matters, right? That's what matters. And he speaks through his word, right? You want to hear God's voice? Get to know him. How do you get to know him? By having God's word in your mouth. I had about 3 scriptures go through my mind as I was saying that. That's how my mind works. As I get God's word into my mind, it gets down into my heart. It gets to my heart, it comes out of my mouth. That's how that works, just so you know. We're going to break down the soul for you guys so well. God revealed a lot of good things to me as we're putting together this hearing God's voice. Because, you know, one of the things, you know, that I learned, that I'm learning, in the process of learning, that people don't, not everybody's like you. Did you know that? They're not like you. They don't learn like you. They don't talk like you. And so they may not see things the way you see them. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. How many people have looked at a puzzle and those puzzle pieces, you looked at them and said, well, they all look the same? No, they're not the same. They got different shapes and different colors, right? But we need every piece coming together, making up the body for what God wants to get done. Does that make sense? I use puzzles and bodies and things, but you guys know what I'm saying, right? Because, but the thing is, in order to be that piece that you're supposed to be, you've got to know the truth of who you're supposed to be. And you can only know that by knowing whose you are, right? Because then you'll start trusting what he says more than what may have been spoken over you from the moment you were born. Because guys, there's been bad stuff spoken over you. I know that. Why? Because the enemy wanted you off course. But you're not off course. You're in here listening to the truth. Is this going out over the internet? Not yet? It will. It doesn't matter. You know where it's going? Over the airwaves. Seriously. I don't worry about technical stuff, as you can tell. I don't care about that. Because I know that I have a supernatural transmitter. And people have a supernatural receiver by the power of the Holy Spirit drawing them closer to him. Because he would have that none should perish. So I know that when I speak God's word, I expect something to happen. And you know what else? I know when you speak God's word, I expect something to happen. And you should too. Because you're his kid too. He's not a respecter of persons. He doesn't love me more than he loves you. You'll hear EJ say it all the time. He's his favorite. Yes, God loves EJ. EJ is God's favorite. And so are you. Because he is capable of having every single child of his be his favorite. With favor surrounding you like a shield. Because that's what the truth is. See, the lie would be, is I'm just out here. I'm getting hit every way. I don't know what to do. The truth is, favor surrounds you like a shield. That's what it says in Psalms. You can go check it out. Until we as people, each of us individually, start understanding the power that we have through our identity in Christ. We have to understand that power. Not for power's sake, but for purpose's sake. See, it's not power for power's sake. Who cares? It's for purpose's sake. We can have the most powerful engine in the world sitting in my garage taking up all this space. But until Paul puts it into a vehicle, it's not going to do anything. Until it has a purpose, it's just power with no purpose. It's taking up space that I need and out of my garage. Is this making sense today? Yes. Just making sense today? We identify with Christ. We are his people, and we are who he says we are. In the baptism, we identify with Christ as a public display of our faith as an act of obedience. Romans 6, 1 through 4 says, well then, you'd have to read before. Should we keep on sinning that God show us more and more of his powerful grace? No, of course not. Since we have died to sin, how can we continue to live in it? Or have you forgotten that when you were joined with Christ Jesus in baptism, we joined him in his death? For we died and were buried with Christ by baptism. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives. It's symbolic. Amen. What a new life we get to lead. That's when I teach. Y'all have heard me teach about the different baptisms, right? Three baptisms. If you haven't, we'll teach it again at some point. But yes, what? You saw last week. The baptism of the physical body of the flesh, right? But that only followed the baptism that happened in their spirit when the Holy Spirit came and settled in them. Does that make sense? So their spirit was baptized first by the Holy Spirit. Praise God for that. And then as an act of obedience, their flesh got baptized. And you know what? Our soul, as we enter into him, the indwelling that happens in your spirit man leads to the infilling that happens in your soul man. Amen? That's a whole nother teaching. Go to Galatians 2:20. My old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Is that a good word? That's a good word to end on, isn't it? Praise God. And praise God. Be praying for all those folks that were baptized. Be praying for all the parents that dedicated their children, that identified themselves as people who will lead their children into the Lord. Praise God. Pray for them. Pray for those kids. Pray for each and every one of us as we advance his kingdom in the destiny he has for us through the identity. It matters. You know, the lie. Again, if we follow the flesh, it's going to lead to destruction, right? But as we follow the Spirit, it's going to lead to that hope-filled, expectant-filled life of glory and power. Abundant life, man. And it's in him. And it's a place that, you know, the closer you get to walking that fullness out, the more you understand how much you need him. See, the further I walk with the Lord, the more my dependence level raises. I am fully dependent. Because there's no way I can do any of this. Myself, I mean, has about 1,000 miles back now because I can't do it. There's no way. But through him, I can do all things he's called me to do. Staying dependent on him. And see, we're such independent people. We're taught to be that way. And here's the thing. That's not a bad thing as my dependency, my independent strength comes through my dependency of Christ. Does that make sense? It only comes through him. So I'm able to walk away from the crowd, which looks like independence, and yet what it is, it's full dependency, and so I can walk that way with no fear, no doubt. See, Thomas had to have Jesus prove it to him. And you know what Jesus did? He proved it to him. He said, come over here. Why don't you just do it? I think he was like, okay, I believe now. And he says, man, you're blessed because you've seen it. But there's a lot more people who are blessed, who believe, who never saw this. And he's talking about you. Amen? I have about four more sermons. Ain't got nothing to do with what's written on here either. I'm excited about what's coming, guys. This season is a ramp-up season. Okay? You'll feel that excitement. But you'll also see the world pushing too, trying to get you off of the truth. Just keep staying in the Word, staying in Him, staying in that peaceful state through that dependency in Christ. Amen? Let's say our scripture confession.
Thank you for listening to this message brought to you by the Lighthouse Church of Raton. For more information, check out our website at www.lighthouseraton.com or find us on Facebook at facebook.com/lighthouseraton. Please join us in person at 10 a.m. Sunday mornings at our new location, 1310 South 2nd Street in Raton, New Mexico. You can support the Lighthouse Radio Ministry by giving online at www.lighthouseraton.com or send a check to 1310 South 2nd Street, Raton, New Mexico, 87740. You are the peace in my troubled sea. Whoa, you are the peace in my troubled sea. My lighthouse, my lighthouse, shining in the darkness, I will follow you. Oh, my lighthouse, my lighthouse, I will trust the promise, you will carry me safe to shore. Will lead me through. You are the peace in my trouble.